Welcome to the Insurance Business Babes podcast, where we show you how we've grown our insurance and related businesses through talking about what works for us, what didn't work, and we'll help you grow your own business through our struggles and our successes. This show is owned by CMED LLC and hosted by Kathy Klein and Joanna Wyckoff. And now, let's get busy. We have an exciting topic today. You want to tell the audience what it is?
Ooh, I do. We were discussing, are agents prepared if the final ruling comes through? What are they going to do if their IMO is no longer in existence? If the final rule gets their way and shuts down the traditional IMO structure for Medicare agents, what we're prepared to do, because many of us rely on our IMOs for many things, technology, compliance. Some of us get leads from our IMOs. Some of us, our entire structure is built through their IMO. And I think we should all be prepared. Kathy, back in Y2K, I think my mom prepared a little bit too much. We had toilet paper and cereal for years. But I think it's reasonable to have, if this happens, then what? Play game, you know, because you don't want to be blindsided, especially if you do rely on your upline to provide your enrollment technology and your leads and all that and your call recordings.
Let's list some things one at a time.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go off the top of my head, I would say right now, the main thing that I'm concerned about is losing my enrollment technology. Mm-hmm. For me, it's Connecture put through underneath Medicare Center. Oh, and I posted, what happens if I want to leave and how do I get that data? I have got 585 clients now. How am I going to get 585 medicine information into the new program? And you know what the response was? If you don't stay with Integrity, you're going to have to manually enter all that information.
That is true. I left Integrity last year and my admin has been entering data. And so I was able to export most of it from carrier portals up to my new IMO, but that was not the drug port. And so person by person, I know. So Kathy, I have donated my assistants to my downline who are in your position because one of them did need to move and we spent 80 hours on her. And that was a value add I added onto her business. I paid those 80 hours that my assistant did all the transfer work and the documents and everything. And that's one of the problems. You've heard me say it a million times. Own your own lane. We've talked about this many times.
I've owned my website. I own my phone number. They said, oh, okay, we can record all your calls. All you have to do is tell people to call this other number. And sure. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. But it never occurred to me that all of my medicine data, I come from when we all use Medicare.gov. What happened? Then they changed it. Mm-hmm. And then we had to go in. And I guess you can, on any system, you can have them connect to Medicare.gov and get the data that way. But it's such a pain and it doesn't really work that well.
And a lot of times it's not updated. Like I've gone through my clients' medications from the blue button. They said, oh, I haven't taken that in a long time now.
And you don't need something that you took 5 years ago for an ear infection or whatever. I'm looking for a solution for this because whether I want to change FMOs or not, whether or not it comes through that the FMOs are no longer going to be in existence or they're going to take half of our commission or whatever it's going to look like, I don't want to have to do this again in my lifetime. I just want to own that data. And I don't know how much it costs. I've reached out to the company that owns Connecture. They do have an individual agency program. I have no idea how much it costs because they don't list it on their website. They're probably one of these companies that say, oh, okay, for you, it's $120 a month and you both have one agent. For you, it's $500 a month. We don't like you that much. So we're going to charge you more because that's the reason, in my opinion, why things aren't listed on websites.
Right. I don't think it's as affordable as that. I think in my mind, getting a Sunfire access is tens of thousands of dollars. Most entities have to partner with an AmeriLife or an Integrity to afford that.
I think the pricing will change
yeah.
if there's no more IMOs.
Now, there is a solution to what you're talking about. And I'm thinking about it. I was at the Alabama NABIB and I met this company called Search and Save, where you own your own enrollment data. I want to say it's about $25 a month. You cannot enroll through it, though. Well, it does the analysis like Medicare.gov, and it stores all of your client data, and then you go enroll through your carrier however you want.
Search and Save, if you are listening to this podcast, you've got to get an enrollment feature.
They might be working on it. And I know my friend Brent Howard, who built out a Salesforce CRM, he's working on the quote enroll with Sunfire this year. So maybe fingers crossed he'll have it. He's just working on it. But that's another place that I've told agents, hey, you can put your data there. But right now it's not connected all the way through. But I always keep my own agency block. Because if something happens, and I love my IMO, I absolutely adore them. I'm featured on their website.
We know they love you too.
Yes. But if something ever happens and so I have to leave one day, I always have my own data somewhere else. I track more than my Medicare data because some IMOs, like Medicare Center, is not a true CRM, in my opinion.
On the Facebook group, people were saying, oh, well, you can transfer your client. And I'm like, I don't keep my client data on there.
There's no export function on Integrity side of Medicare Center. And that was one of the hardest parts. I had to go to my carriers and get the data. And then some of the carriers don't make it easy to export. Shout out to Humana who did. But Humana, I still didn't get the full MBI. I had to transcribe it.
I have my own CRM that I had when I was a financial advisor. I am looking at other solutions, but it just seems like there's always an issue with something. So if you are using ConnectSure or Sunfire for your medication information, just understand that you could wind up having to pay for that yourself, or you could wind up losing access. So regardless of whether you are thinking about changing FMOs someday, you need to prepare what could happen if your FMO is no longer in business because of this new legislation. They are not going to continue to support you at the level they do if they do not get paid for it. How can they afford to do that?
They can't. They literally can't. And as far as the voice recording goes, I switched over to a VoIP called Dialpad. I will tell you that it's amazing. My assistant answers the phones and I can listen to the calls, voicemails and all that. I wanted to make sure that because of the compliance and we have to store phone calls for 10 years. And if Humana or whatever carrier says, hey, Joanna, we need Tiffany Jones's phone call from yesterday. I can't wait for an IMO because it's my life on the line. Because I've been in that situation in January 2019. I had my first and only complaint where a 92-year-old lady complained and lied on me. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
You did say that before,
yeah. She said that she never enrolled on her PDP, and I had to prove to WellCare all of my documents. And I had to give them in 48 hours. And here I had a flood the previous day and I was blow drying the scope of appointment. You know, I had to recount the entire story and I had an identical memory. So it was fine. But they don't give you weeks and days.
No, they do not. I've had one complaint, Joanna, and this was before call recording. And I just printed off all my notes on my CRM and said, here you go. And then it came back unfounded.
Same with mine. Mine did come back unfounded. But that's why I always say, you want to make sure that you cross your I's and dot your T's and document.
Why don't you like RingCentral? That's my favorite.
I've had RingCentral. I had it for many years because I was using that as my fax portal. Some of these people still believe in faxes, especially when I had a fax, paper apps, and C-SNP forms and stuff. I just didn't vibe with the platform. So some things are always going to, why iPhone versus Android, right?
Okay, I get it. I use RingCentral. I like it. I moved over from Grasshopper when we had to record all the calls because Grasshopper didn't have that capability. And before I had to record, Grasshopper was great and it was very inexpensive. And what else are we going to have to prepare for besides technology? Because we could talk about technology all day long. What about compliance? I've been doing it so long, I can pretty much do my own compliance now. But when I was a new agent, I couldn't do my own compliance because some of it's stupid.
I think that agents are just going to wing it. I see a lot of stuff out there that is not compliant that I don't think they've ever submitted to the IMO. We see a lot in Facebook groups. I see agents using carrier logos on their business cards that's not compliant because you know that they didn't get permission from each carrier to put on their business card. I see agents putting their carrier logos on their website. You know that's not compliant without their explicit permission.
We've had this conversation with or without their permission. Why are you promoting them? They're not paying. They're not paying you a monthly fee to advertise for them. Nobody is searching XYZ insurance company and your website pops up.
No one's ever said, Joanna, do you sell for Aetna, Humana? Oh, you don't sell for Humana? You can't help me.
Now, I have had people say they really want XYZ. And I say, okay, I will sell it to you to prevent you from going to my competitor. But FYI, XYZ is not the company I would have recommended. I would have recommended ABC.
Sure. It happens quite frequently, especially with very strong brands that have their own magazines and memberships. That happens a lot. Compliance is one thing. The call recording, I think, is the big thing. I think so. Technology call recording. I think, how about training? I know that I host 2 trainings a week for my downlines, and I'm at their beck and call on a group chat. You know, they're texting me and calling me all day long. Like, who are you going to call?
I know who they're going to call. They're going to have to pay Joanna $169. How much is it? $169 a month?
No. We have a membership. It's $69.
Sorry.
$69 to start right now.
Okay. You're going to have to pay Joanna $69 a month to get access to her trainings. That's what's going to happen.
That's a deal.
So there we go. And you're going to have to upgrade if you actually want to talk to her. $69 a month to get her trainings and upgrade if you want to talk to her. So there you go. There's the training. So you're not really worried about compliance. You'll just let CMS catch people. Yeah, CMS is going to have to be more proactive.
Right now, CMS puts the compliance on the carriers to regulate. I think for the most part, many agents already use their carriers asking broker managers, hey, is this compliant? If they're doing something on their own. A lot of agents don't do their own marketing like you do, though. They use their IMO. So leads, many agents rely on Integrity's lead center or their IMO to provide their lead house. Now, I've always told my agents, I am not a lead provider. I don't have any desire to get into lead providing because it's a slippery slope where I don't want you to become my consumer, first of all, because I've been in IMOs where they didn't care if I made one policy sale as long as I kept spending thousands and thousands on leads because that's where they were really making the money. And then they were reselling the leads 5 weeks later.
We've talked about this on the podcast before, and Joanna, she wants to help you. She doesn't want to be your lead provider,
yeah.
Right?
And what works for you might work differently for somebody else. Everybody functions differently. I connect people to leads that I've vetted and I feel are good value and stuff. I co-opt them for my agents as well, but I don't have any desire to be a lead house or a mail house, right? Is your IMO going to just turn into your lead provider? I don't know. I think that people who rely on their IMO for everything have the greatest risk because then it turns into more of a consumer relationship with your IMO than an agent mentor.
If your IMO is providing your website, you probably have more of a employee mentality. I think that if your IMO or your FMO, somebody else, not you, is paying for or providing your website, you are probably going to be in for a huge shock if they go out of business or if they say, now we are going to have to charge you for these things, which could happen, right? I mean, they could all turn into vendors. They could all become affiliates of all these services that they provide to us. Then we're going to have to pay them. How are we going to pay them? It's probably going to be a commission split or a monthly fee. When I was a financial advisor, I had to pay $5,000 a year for the technology that they provided.
Now, I've heard about that on the PNC side. They call them aggregators. And I've heard of agents paying to be affiliated with an aggregator before. I probably will turn into something like that. And maybe some agents don't sell for everybody and their mom anymore. Right now, I have to do 33 carrier certifications.
Right. Maybe we'll reduce that, right?
Yeah, because it's a lot to learn 33 logins to go enroll on their own technology. Only so many carriers make it easy. Not everybody does make it easy. Some carriers make it really difficult to go enroll somebody on their own platform without Sunfire Connector.
So what do you think agents should be doing right now? Because there's a difference between what Joanna is doing to prepare. And I think one of those things that Joanna's doing is smart. And we've talked about this and she finally did it. And that was create her membership. What should agents be doing right now, just in case?
I think they should be looking into the technology part and seeing what they might want to work with. If your IMO was to shut down tomorrow, where would you pivot to? So RingCentral, Dialpad, those things for voice recording. I use mine anyway for my office VOIP. And you use yours for VOIP. So I think most agents should have their own VOIP line. It's been a long year. I stopped giving everybody and their mom my cell phone. I wanted to take a nap at 4 o'clock this afternoon. My assistant's been answering my phones. I don't want anybody to call my cell phone anymore. Big mistake I made that nobody mentored me on when I was a young agent. I think that agents should learn their favorite carrier's quote and enroll platforms.
Oh, no. No, because I used to do it. I would go directly to the carrier. But yes, you're probably right.
Pick your strongest MAPD and your strongest PDP. I wrote a whole lot of the W's and I'm going to have to go learn their technology. Humana and United Healthcare, I've been enrolling direct for years. Theirs are pretty easy. But the regional carriers, if you're not familiar with them, you do a lot. But I would start learning it because you know what happens, Kathy? Agents rely on quote enrollment software so much that the day that Sunfire is glitching, they don't know how to do an application. And we should know the old school way just in case. I've had to tell agents, hey, you're probably gonna have to go do lean. I'm sorry. It's not the end of the world. Or God forbid, a paper application if you're not going to have access to Wi-Fi. There are certain parts of the country that still don't have cell phone reception.
I think I told you that I used to do paper apps and then next day air them to clients and give them a next day air form to send back to me.
So I was not that archaic. In 2019, I'm going to date myself. 2019, I think Sunfire was maybe, quote, Medicare Center was coming just onto the market. I had to go to enroll about 20 people at a group home. And it's a lot of work. I was a brand new agent, first year, full time. And so I did PDFs on my iPad. And I thought that was smart. But then I had to come home and upload those PDFs to the carrier's portal. I mean, secure email.
And by the way, agents, do you have secure email? And I do, because I was a financial advisor. This is a HIPAA violation.
Yeah.
If you are sending personal information via email.
Yeah.
So hopefully you all have secure email systems.
Exactly. So I think agents should know what we call walking up the hill both ways. Like, I don't think Medicare.gov is going to come back. Let's face it. They're trying to remove the need for consumers to have an agent, right? That's, I think, the ultimate goal. Just kind of like they did with the marketplace several years ago. They were trying to remove the need for agents.
And then they realized the marketplace wasn't getting the enrollments they wanted, right?
Well, and then some people think that we are still biased and enroll with specific carriers or specific types of insurance because of how much we make.
If you're looking at company A versus company B, let's say Humana versus Aetna versus United Healthcare, I'm making exactly the same.
Well, I think what they're saying is the HRAs, they think that Kathy is choosing to put most of her business with company A because that HRA is $100 versus a company that doesn't have an HRA, or that company A gave you $100 per app for co-op money. And I do co-op money. And you know what we did? I went to my IMO and I said, I want all of my agents to get the same amount of dollars, whether it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yep.
So whatever brand you write, we get the same amount of money because I didn't want my agents to say, I'm going to move all of my book to this company that's giving me the money and not the other one. Because like historically, there's some carriers that have no national marketing money.
You're going to slap me the next time you see me, because 90% of the time I do not do an HRA because I don't have time. I've got another appointment in 5 minutes. I do not have time to do an HRA for $100. I am on a clock because I don't have any LOAs, right? It's just me and 600 clients. I know for you that are listening and you can't see Joanna's face, she is going to punch me the next time she sees me.
You're not my downline, so I don't have that authority. I've been in those shoes before. I'm still a writing agent. I still write. I've been there before. Now, I will tell you, Kathy, some companies give more time for HRAs than others. Some of them give 5 days after the appointment's completed to complete the HRA. And I think that's really smart, because if your next call is already calling in and you're behind, then you can always call back. Hey, Ms. Jones, I forgot to ask you a couple questions. Now, this company is really nosy, but they want to make sure that they get you some case. It's usually for case management. It is to get their extra money. But it's also to get them case management stuff. So we've also discussed that you are probably at the need for an LOA, Miss Kathy.
I tried to hire one. So I will update you in a different show. But okay. And I actually had somebody raise her hand and say she wanted to do it. Mm. And I'll tell you what happened on another show.
Episode. Boom, 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 boom.
That's right. So we are running against the clock. We've talked about technology. We've talked about compliance. We've talked about websites and leads. We've actually talked about everything we thought. What else should our listeners be doing as far as preparing, just in case? Not if you want to leave FMOA and go to a different one, but what if FMOs just disappear? What should you be doing?
EMS Armageddon. I just think that you should pretend Sunfire shut down for the week. What are you going to do? Or Connecture. What would you do for your call recordings, your quote enrolls? I would probably really learn the carrier portals. I would create bookmarks to make easier access. And I would just every day just learn something new. Like today, go learn Aetna. Tomorrow, go learn United Healthcare. Next day, Humana. The big ones, and then work your way to smaller ones and work on your systems. That's what I'm telling my agents to do, is we really should already know how to do an enrollment for WellCare. If Sunfire was just down, we can't rely on Sunfire. It's a nice technology to have, but we can't rely on it because there are glitches, especially on December 7th at 11:59 at night. It happens the same in the ACA market, where HealthSharp is down for hours on end on the last very days, right? I tell my agents, I said, you should not be relying on HealthSharp either. You should know how to do it the old school way, just in case.
So start learning now, because if they do eliminate FMOs, you know when it's going to be? It's going to be October 1st of whatever year we are in. That will be when they eliminate the FMOs, and then there's going to be pandemonium and nobody will know how to do anything. So if you take Joanna's advice and you start learning how to do stuff on your own now and start thinking of your backup plan, you are going to be way ahead of the game.
I would also learn how to transfer to your own CRM. There's cheap CRMs out there that are like $10, like less annoying CRM, HubSpot. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. I mean, if you're new, you can even just use an Excel spreadsheet with names and stuff, but you want to make sure that you're tracking your own clients and your own stuff. I've always had to have my own, because Medicare Center, you have to remember each client's names. I would always own your own stuff, even if it's a $10 CRM.
Just make sure that $10 CRM is HIPAA compliant.
And I'm pretty sure Less Annoying CRM and HubSpot, Agency Block, I'm pretty sure they are. And then the other fancy ones, the Go High Levels are HIPAA compliant. The white label ones like DFY by my friend Eric Furo. But I think agents should really have their own control. Make sure you have a relationship with the lead vendor. So if your IMO is your lead vendor, I would have a backup just in case something changes and their leads go sky high, because now they need to function as a lead provider. I've always had my leads separate ever since I left practice company, because I don't want to be the consumer of my IMO.
That's right. You don't want them making money, even if you don't make a sale. Very good advice, Joanna. And for the listener, just be prepared. We don't know what's going to happen. And being prepared is never a bad thing. If it never happens, great, fantastic. And I hope it doesn't, because I like having these services provided for me. Not so sure if I'm going to continue having my quote an enroll system provided to me, just because I'm learning what kind of a hassle it will be if I want to change. But yeah, take our advice and just prepare yourself. For the listener, we'll see you next time on the Insurance Business Babes podcast. Bye.
Bye.